Welcome to the Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest sermon in our current teaching series, All Jesus Asks.
God, I pray that you would help us once again this morning. Some of us, our minds are scattered, our bodies are tired. Maybe it's a little too comfortable and relaxing. And we pray, God, that you'd help us to be able to hear and listen and think and apply today, and pray that your word, that Jesus questions to us, would really help us ask some important things about our lives. Help us to, as we look at these words in Luke's gospel, help us to not just have something to listen to and think about right now, but I pray that something would stick with us and follow us around this week, so that the words of Jesus and his challenge to us would really get into the nitty-gritty of our everyday lives, that we would let his words challenge us on what makes us tick, what we're living for, what we're pursuing. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, a pretty straightforward message today. The idea of gain and the world. And is that really the gain you're looking for? We're going to jump into the ninth chapter, verse 20. I want to start back at verse 20 to give a little context. Jesus is with the disciples. He's asked them, what are people saying about me? Who do they say that I am? And they say, well, some people think you're Elijah back from the dead, or some people think you're one of the prophets back from the dead. And they give a number of answers. Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you're God's Messiah. You're the Christ of God. Okay? You're the promised one. You are the one that's going to bring deliverance. You are the King of Israel. Okay? And Jesus says to him, verse 21, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And this text today is filled with little questions and flags all through it. Why doesn't he want anybody to? Well, catch me later, I'll tell you on that one. It has to do with, it's a big claim to call yourself the Messiah, and things are getting very tense. And so he's not asking to escalate the situation. But he says, the Son of Man, and you can tell the tension he expects, the crucifixion. He's thinking about the tension to come. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. So Jesus, Peter says, you're the Messiah, and Jesus says, calm down a minute. Don't trumpet that everywhere, and I have to tell you something really tough. We're headed for some bad days. Do you see that? We're headed for the Son. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders. I'm going to be killed, but on the third day I'll raise again to life. Okay? And then verse 23, he says to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple. And by the way, I just think, how the train of thought goes here. Jesus says, here's what I'm headed for. This is what's going to be coming in the days ahead. He might have seen on their faces, do we really want to follow this guy? And so Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. And then the question that we're looking at today, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Now there's a couple other verses to follow that we need to look at. Verse 26, Jesus goes on to say, whoever's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. And those two verses? Does everybody get that clearly? Did those just, you read that and go, oh, plain as day. Okay. There's a lot to talk about there. I know, I got a couple pastors together and said, what do these verses mean? And we decided that none of us really know, but we made some good guesses, and I'll try to allude to those a little bit as we go on here. But one thing is here, this being ashamed, the word for ashamed in the Greek, you know, shame is kind of a word that's got all kinds of maybe ideas to it in English, you know, especially in our pop culture, pop psychology culture, shame and shaming people. You know, and the word is used for that. It kind of comes from a root word that means to disfigure or to dishonor or to. One idea is that it's something you shrink away from. Does that make sense? Something that you would back away from. You can see how that would get into the idea of shame. So Jesus says, if you're shrinking away from, if you're withdrawing from who I am and my words and what I'm teaching, that in the end, that's going to result in distance between us. You shrink away from who I am, I'm going to be shrinking away from you. Okay. And then he says, some are standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. And lots of times, because it's kind of second coming language in verse 26 there, he's coming again and with the angels. That's last day's talk from a New Testament point of view. Then sometimes we get into verse 27 and it's like, well, the second coming hasn't happened yet, and I think most of those people died, you know. But he doesn't say the second coming, he says the kingdom of God. And if you keep following down in your text, the next thing you'll see is Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the disciples, some of whom were standing right there, did see Jesus in all of his glory. And they saw that, you know, nothing makes you think about the possibilities beyond crucifixion, the possibilities beyond suffering, the possibilities beyond death. Nothing makes you feel stronger about that than like being on a mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. You know, nothing like a good talk with a few people we thought were dead to reemphasize to you that there's maybe possibilities beyond the grave, okay? So Jesus is saying, I'm headed to the grave, but I'm also headed to resurrection. We're facing tough days, but there's hope. God is bigger. Life is bigger than death, okay? So the real question that I want to focus in on, and I just, you know, part of my pastor brain said, just cut off those last verses because it's just going to distract. But then I thought, we need those verses. Let's wrestle with those verses. Let's add them in there. So, but the main question I want to focus in on is, what is of value? What good does it do to gain the whole world? And I heard a story in the news just a week or two ago that kind of made this question come to life for me. Anybody here like garage sales or estate sales? Anybody? No? Okay, a few? Yeah? You know you might have a problem if you're on your way to a meeting, it's tight, but that looks like it could be a pretty good sale. So you should at least drive by. So you turn around the block and you go to it. I actually sign up for those estate sale emails. So every week I get an email telling me everywhere in the Twin Cities there's an estate sale. And it's usually just an exercise in frustration because it turns out you have to have time to go to them. But every once in a while I'll see one. I think, oh, maybe I should go to that. Well, this story made me think I should get out to more garage sales and more estate sales. This woman is holding up a letter that a man found folded in a book at a yard sale just a couple of weeks ago. And the letter is a response. Some guy put an ad in the Liverpool Echo. And the ad was signed just by this name, Drummer Young Free. Okay, and the letter was a response to this ad in that newspaper, and the letter said something like this: expenses will be paid £18 per week approximately for 2 months. If you're interested, ring the Jacaranda Club. And it was signed, yours sincerely, Paul McCartney of the Beatles. And this is before Ringo, and this is before Pete Best. This is somebody's opportunity to get into the Beatles. Folded in a nice letter in a book. And a couple thoughts went through my mind as I heard that. One is, I got to go to garage sales and pay more attention to letters folded up in books. That letter, that's a Christie's worker holding that letter with her little gloves on there. That letter sold for $11,000. Yeah. And so that's one thing that went to my mind. Be more observant when you're at garage sales. But another thing was, it kind of brought to mind that story in the New Testament where Jesus says, a man found a field and he found a treasure buried in this field. And so he covered the treasure back up and he went and sold everything he had in order to buy that field. Why would he do that? Because that was worth more, right? The guy was shrewd. The guy said, ooh, nobody thinks this land's worth anything, but I know it is, so I'm going to go buy the field, right? And so this story kind of made me think of, you know, sometimes you got to pay attention because every once in a while there's a little treasure that everybody else has missed. Sometimes the world is wrong. A lot of people are going to walk right by that sale and not know there's something of value there, right? A lot of people walk right past Christianity and don't see anything of value there. A lot of people walk right past Jesus and don't see anything of value. But some people, they find in Jesus a treasure and they think, it'd be worth to sell everything I had and get that. I would trade everything for that, right? Another thing that comes to my mind with this is how everybody who was talking about this was like, boy, I bet that guy's kicking himself now. You know, like obviously the best thing that could have ever happened to this person was for them to actually respond to Paul McCartney and join the Beatles. Like that's the no-brainer. Obviously that was the path. I really suspect that, I kind of hope that drummer Young Free comes forward. I hope we can find out who this person is, because I suspect there's a very good chance that somebody said no to the Beatles and had a good life anyway. You know? In fact, it might be that somebody saved their life by saying no to the Beatles. Because this 2 months, they were going to Hamburg, and they were going to be playing in the red light district in an infamous neighborhood in Germany. You know, joining the Beatles isn't necessarily a path to a good life. You know, even though everybody at first glance says, oh, I bet that guy's kicking himself. No, there might be a guy, there might be an old guy sitting by the sea somewhere over there in England going, I'm so glad I didn't answer that. Because I actually get to walk around and be who I am, and I wouldn't trade my family, I wouldn't trade the life I have for anything. In other words, the world is constantly throwing us choices where we have to say, what do I value the most? What am I going to do, right? And many times the world is wrong. And Jesus challenges the world in our question today. He says, what good would it be? Let's say everything went right for you in this plan you've got. Let's say you got the best job and the biggest house. Let's say you got fame. Let's say you did play drums for the Beatles. Let's say everything went right from a worldly point of view. What if you lost your very self in doing that? How valuable is it to you then? Do you want what the world values, or do you want Jesus and what he values? That's just a simple question. Simple as it cuts to the very core of your being. That simple. And so we look at this question, what good is it to gain the world and yet lose your soul? We want to unpack that a little bit because sometimes it's a little bit circular. Don't you want, be good to yourself, deny yourself. What? You hear the circle there? Like the best thing you could do for yourself is to deny yourself and lose yourself. Well, what self are we talking about here, okay? So Jesus says, deny yourself. He says, do you want to follow me? You're going to have to deny yourself. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, right? So they're going to have to take up their cross and follow me. So which self am I going to deny? And I just looked at that because I thought, okay, Jesus is basically saying, do yourself a favor. deny yourself? Which self am we talking? I wanted to roll this around a little bit and say, which self am I denying? Because apparently there's one self I'm trying to save. There's a self that I want, and there's a self I should deny, right? And so I just looked at the text a little bit. And notice he says, whoever wants to be my disciple. So I thought, okay, to be a disciple means to follow Jesus. And not just follow him, discipleship, disciple is a word that means become like him. Okay? In rabbinical culture of during the time of Jesus, to be a disciple, you weren't just like learning from somebody, you were copying them. You were eating for breakfast what they were eating for breakfast. You followed them around. You scheduled your day like that. You were trying to become exactly like the person you were following, okay? And so I think right away, if I'm going to deny myself, that means I need to deny the self that's contrary to Jesus. Does that make sense to you? In other words, I want to deny the parts. When Jesus says deny yourself, what does that mean? Well, get rid of the parts that are contrary to what I'm about. You know, it's like the sculptor who he's forming something out of a block of wood. He's carving a horse, and somebody like me marvels and looks on and says, how in the world do you do that? And the sculptor says, it's simple, just cut off the parts that don't look like a horse. You know? And Jesus says, if we're going to follow him, we need to deny anything that's contrary to him. So when I see something in myself and go, I know Jesus says this, but I kind of like this way. Jesus says, deny yourself. So I deny the self that's contrary to him. He also says, take up your cross. This is a hint about the kind of road you're on. When the person you're following, do you want to follow me? Oh, grab your cross and join me. And that means that part of the self I need to deny is the self that says, I don't want to have any trouble. Right? I mean, when somebody says, I'm following Jesus because I don't want any trouble, you say, you know, where's your cross? Because that's part of the traveling equipment with following this guy. And so I need to deny the parts that are contrary to Christ. I need to deny the part of me that says, if it's going to be trouble or require sacrifice, I don't want that. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to deny that part that says, I don't want trouble. Okay? What else does he say? Notice the word daily. What does daily mean to you? If somebody does something daily, it's consistent, right? And so Jesus says, you can't be my disciple if you're in one day and out the next. If you're fickle, if you're non-committal, right? Do any of us struggle with that? No. Thank you, Josh. Not at all. Right. So when Jesus says, deny yourself if you want to follow me, he says, you're going to have to say no to that part of you that's hot one day and cold the next. You know, this isn't like, you know, deciding to take guitar lessons. You know, we can get all excited and then you just give it up. And you know, Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you got to keep showing up. You got to keep showing up every day. Deny what's contrary to me. Show up every day. Embrace some hardship. It's going to be some tough going at times. What else do I have to deny? Notice he says, follow me. Which position are you in when you follow? Let's review that. If you're following, somebody else is leading, right? I've noticed that a lot of us really want a life where we do the leading. In fact, some of us have invited Jesus into our lives and said, just follow me around, Lord. That would be awesome. Jesus, are you coming? Follow me. Oh, Jesus, I'm over here. I'm in trouble. Help me. You know, Jesus, follow me. And at some point, you have to realize, you know, Jesus is going to look at you and say, you know, maybe I should lead. Maybe you should follow. Maybe you should deny this impulse that you're always leading the way. Maybe you should be asking me where we go. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, You're going to have to deny what's contrary to me. You're going to have to deny this sense of that I don't want trouble. You're going to have to deny this fickleness, and you're going to have to deny this I need to be in control. Have you learned, have some of you experienced this with Jesus? I have. And then he says, save yourself. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. Well, who will I save? Well, I can save the misdirected me. Right? There's a part of me that gets deceived by what the world tells me I should like and what I should chase. Have you ever had that problem? Where you get confused and you're like, well, everybody, that's success, or that's what I need, or that, really? That's, you need that? There's so much stuff that we think we need or we want to do or be that we need to be saved from that person. Because that person, do you know what that person is actually doing? Killing us. That we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Jesus says, if you deny yourself, if you'll lose yourself, you'll save yourself from being a misdirected person who's letting the world squeeze you into its mold. Jesus says that you can save the part of you that is shrinking away from what Jesus commands. And Jesus says, you know, if in the end you've been somebody who said, well, I don't know, I'm just going to withdraw from the things Jesus says. Jesus says, really, you want to be in that situation where now I have to withdraw from you because you're so far from me? I want to be saved from the part of me that is slow to embrace Jesus, you know. I want to get right up next to Jesus. I don't want to shrink away. What else will I save? Well, Jesus says, he starts talking about when he comes, which of course presupposes we believe he is. So there's got to be this sense of something eternal. And I've noticed through scriptures, I've noticed it in songs we've sung today, I've noticed it in hymns that were at the earlier service, that so much of being a Christian is having a long view. You know, if you're going to carry a cross up a hill and die, it helps to really believe in resurrection. If you're going to make it through a hard time in a relationship, it really helps to believe that God is bigger than the problem in your relationship right now. Because if you don't, if you are short-sighted, short-sightedness kills. And by the way, have you noticed that short-sightedness is a real doorway to temptation? Have you noticed that? That many of the things you get tempted into and lured into, you know, it's not like, hey, come and do this because that's going to make you feel great 10 years from now. Right? It's always now. It's always escape right now. And see, a lot of the Christian life is saying, I'm not averse to sacrifice and trouble. I have a long view. And so when I deny myself and I really don't shrink away from the words of Jesus, I start embracing a life that has a long view. Make sense? He says, some of you here, you're going to see the kingdom before you taste death. I don't know exactly what he means by that. But I know this, is that if I have no sense of the eternal, if I have no sense of the transcendent, you know what I'm stuck with? I'm stuck with me and today. And it usually feels like it's going to squash me. And I know that it's easier to face death and trouble and problems once you get a vision for the kingdom and you say, there's something bigger than my problems. There's something bigger than my town, bigger than my church, bigger than my experience. There's something big and eternal. And I've noticed that the larger my view, the bigger my vision for God, the greater my sense of the kingdom of God, the easier it is for me to persevere. And why do we talk about all this? Well, because Jesus asks me in this question, what is it that you're really going for in your life? And have you really considered that if you're going for the wrong thing, you might actually be losing your life? You might actually be throwing away what you could have. You know, because it's not your life, Jesus says, is not hidden. It's not to be found in the world. Your life is to be found in me, Jesus says. Which is, by the way, why Jesus never asked anybody to be part of their life. You know, Jesus didn't say, invite me in and just have be kind to Jesus morning on Sundays. He said, make me the center, the foundation, the cornerstone of all you are. That's the way you build a life. There's a missionary named Jim Elliot, who's, if you've read the book Through Gates of Splendor, or he died on the mission field. He went into a tough place where they knew death was a possibility, reaching groups in Ecuador. And Jim Elliot was a journaler. He wrote a lot in journals. He wrestled through a lot of questions in life in his journal. And one of the things he wrote in his journal, there's a book, I think it's called The Shadow of the Almighty, where it's got a lot of his journal notes in it. And here's something he wrote. Listen close. He said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep in exchange for that which he cannot lose. Hear that equation? I'm not an idiot if I say no to the things I can't keep in exchange for the things that last forever, things I can't lose. That's why he would go onto the mission field like that. That's why he would take risks, because he thought, I'll take any risk. I'm not averse to hardship or sacrifice. I'm willing to let my life be what God's forming it to be, right? And here's the amazing thing about that. He wrote that as a college-age kid. This tremendous deep truth he wrote as a young man. And Jesus looks at us and asks that same question that motivated Jim Elliot to write that thing in his book. Jesus says, what drives you? What guides you? What shapes you? What are you chasing? What is it you want? Ask yourself, if you get it, will you have lost what's best for you? What good would it do to get what you're chasing if you lost the best life you could have? Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus' stark and penetrating words. I pray, oh God, that we would let them penetrate deep into us, and that we would be people who learn what it means to deny the shallow self in order to find the Jesus-shaped self. Help us to learn how to let go of the temporal and embrace the transcendent and the eternal. It's in his name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do that, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around and find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.